So, let's see here.
John? Okay, the Economic Development Housing Budget Division for Monday, March 8th will come to order. We have three bills on the agenda today, and the first one is Senator Bach's jobs bill. And we've all probably heard it about four or five different times. I think Senator Metzen had a similar bill in here. How many times? Two or three? And so
five committees.
I'm actually kind of surprised it's here because I didn't ask for it, but I'm assuming Senator Cohen must have asked for it, so that's why it's here. So, Senator Bach, if you want to just refresh the committee's memory on this and why it's here, and we can move it on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Article 1 is the angel investor tax credit that you heard earlier in Senator Metzen's bill. Article 2 is the cap goal. Provisions for that's the provision that allows insurance companies to get into investing in business expansions. Article 3 is the historic building tax credit. And then Article 4 are a bunch of tax provisions that relax some of the tax increment financing provisions, creates a new type of TIF district, adds some additional units to housing replacement TIF districts. Article 5 is some liberalization of the language relative to the expansion of the Mall of America that would allow the city of Bloomington to, under current law, they have to have a completed development agreement before the city of Bloomington can impose any of the adder taxes at the mall to help pay for the parking ramp. This would allow the city of Bloomington to add the adder taxes for a phased construction. So that's the extent of it, Mr. Chairman. It's really, really all tax provisions. And there is, I believe, the fees that we charge for the angel credit and for the Capco credit pretty close to pay for the cost of the program over at BEAD. There is a revenue issue in here with the fact that the issue of being able to allow the transfer, though, those angel tax credits, there's a small cost over at the Department of Revenue that we're working on.
Are you thinking?
And we'll work on that when we're over at the tax committee. There's about $150,000 cost at the Department of Revenue that
he doesn't show up
anymore. We need to work on yet.
Okay, and Senator Bach, the reason you're here is because there's those fees you just brought up, right? Like I see one on line 4.1, that's $150 application fee, 4.11. And there's another one on 4.22. No, that's a fine. But there's another one down at 4.28. So there's a few fees in the bill that are appropriate for this type of legislation. And so that's why Senator Bach's got the bill here in front of us. And I don't know if you've all seen this bill several times. It's the jobs bill, and it's the one we're trying to create jobs during this jobless economy. And we hope that some of these incentives in this bill will do just that. So, Senator Dibble has a question or a comment or.
I have an amendment.
An amendment, okay.
Mr. Chair, I have the A3 amendments.
Okay, can we pass out the A3 amendment, please?
And Mr. Chair, this is just that green chemistry issue that we've discussed. This actually is scaled back even further from the amendment that we put into the Metzen-Saltzman bill.
We were going to work on it.
Work on it we did, and actually came to a mutually agreeable solution. We have a definition already in statute, so it just makes a reference to that. This is for the Small Business Investment Tax Credit Section 1. Identifying the use of green chemistry, you know, in that array of green economy policy definition that we provide in that particular section. So the definition as we have in state statute already says green chemistry means an approach to designing and manufacturing products that minimizes the use and generation of toxic substances. So kind of boiled it down to its bare essentials.
Senator Bach, you're okay with this?
Mr. Chairman, these are the kind of high-tech things that we want to develop in Minnesota, so I think it's fine.
Okay. Any comments or questions on the agenda, Senator Metzen?
Oh, just that we worked with Senator Dibble, and we added some language on the bill I'm carrying, and we said we might be a little fix-up, and then he did go back and this is the fix-up, so.
Yep.
Okay. We support it.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? Okay, seeing none, Senator Dibble moves the A3 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, motion is adopted. Any other comments or questions about the bill? Senator Metzen. Senator Metzen will move Senate File 2561 as amended. 2568 as amended. Any other comments or questions? Anybody want to say anything in the audience? Okay. Seeing no further comments or questions, then Senator Dibble's moves, or excuse me, Senator Metzen made the motion to move Senate File 2568 as amended to the Finance Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, motion is adopted. Thank you, Senator Bach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just for the committee's interest, I'm Representative Lencheski, and I met with the Commissioner of Revenue last Friday. We're still trying to figure out where to identify some money to help pay for this. So, but the Tax Committee will find the money to try and make this happen. Thank you.
But maybe those fees will do it.
I think they just pay for the administrative costs of the program over at Deeds.
But. Yeah, okay. All right. Okay. Thank you very much. Senator Higgins, are you here?
Iowa.
One of the Iowa girls. Yeah.
In the bill, the fees are appropriate. So they have money to do.
We found out today in Senator Higgins, we found out in Senator Metzen's committee today, we have three legislators from Iowa in the Senate.
Besides me, who would that be?
Salzman.
Senator Salzman and Senator Lynch. They're all from Iowa. That we know
and
of.
That we know of.
There might be more for all we know.
It feels like
people are moving into the state.
Suddenly it's all making sense.
I just heard
Mr. Chair, I've visited there once or twice.
Once or twice.
You're an Iowa wannabe.
Senator Higgins, Senate File 2988, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, this is a bill made from an idea that I received from a man named John Baker, who is retired from 22 years in the Marine Corps and is now a partner in a law firm who specializes in work for veterans, service members, wounded warriors, and their families. He's also one of the leaders of the military action group at the legislature. He couldn't be here today, but Mr. Jerry Kaiser, sitting next to me, is here to help me present the bill. Senate File 2988 would expand the use of the military reservist economic injury loan to include veterans who are interested in starting small businesses. According to the U.S. Department of Labor, the unemployment rate for veterans is 9.5% for the Gulf War era II veterans, and 9.5%, with Gulf War era II veterans at 12.5% unemployment. This bill would allow economic injury for veterans to continue to be addressed and expand the loan to start up businesses for veterans. I have someplace in here a table from the Department of Labor. Department of Labor statistics that gives you some information about unemployment status for folks that I think you might be interested in. If somebody would pass it out, that would be great. Sure.
Hey, you guys. They got a handout.
And Mr. Chair, as we're talking through this, we were just talking, Senator Bach was presenting his bill. We have it narrowly drafted for military personnel who served on or after September 11th, 2001. And we would like you to help us determine whether we could take that back as far as Vietnam era vets as well. So while we're talking today, maybe if somebody wants to think about the language to do that, we think that that would be useful for a lot of folks who are like my age. So so starting out, we have Mr. Jerry Kaiser, who is a Vietnam vet, a past commander of the United Veterans Legislative Conference, and a member of the Military Action Group.
Welcome to the committee. Please say your name for the record and then continue with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Jerry Kaiser. I'm the
Vice Commander of the United Veterans Legislative Council. I was the chairman for 4 years, and now I'm the vice chairman. I'm into vice now, I guess. But we represent the 408,000 veterans in the state of Minnesota, all the way from the World War II all the way up to the current veterans, the National Guard, reservists, and their families. And this is an excellent way for them to be able to facilitate and get into a small business. Now, the failure rate in small businesses is high. What we're trying to do is reduce that down and be able to get them to have all the proper information they need to have to get their businesses going. Mr. Baker and I have worked together in a number of different programs just trying to make sure that these young men and women coming out of the service, if they can't find jobs, that maybe they can start their own businesses and then contribute to hiring more people. That's the basic essence of it. The veterans of the state of Minnesota are a great resource. They've got great training. They're can-do type people, and they get things done. And that's the kind of people that we need to be running this state and being involved in the legislature and be part of the leadership of this country. And I think the newest, greatest generation, in my opinion, are all these young men and women who are coming back now, plus the Desert Storm era veterans and also the Vietnam era veterans, like myself. I did 2 tours in Vietnam, and I know there are other veterans out there like myself who would like to get into business. This is tough economic times, and the better way for them to get going is to have this kind of backup.
Thank you. Sounds like something we should definitely be doing with for our veterans as they're coming back, helping them out. So,
Mr. Chair, next is Officer Candidate Davin Fisher.
Mr. Fisher.
Good afternoon. I'm Officer Candidate Davin Fisher. Just for your reference, Officer Candidate is sort of a temporary title. I'm an E6, which is the equivalent of a staff sergeant. I'm here representing the Department of Military Affairs and the Minnesota National Guard. First, I want to just affirm what the legislation in its current format does, and it supports the businesses that employ soldiers. And I want to just really quickly emphasize that it supports the employers. A lot of times we focus on what it's doing for service members or benefits for service members, but during especially the Minnesota National Guard's current high tempo of operations, current high tempo of deployment, it's a challenging atmosphere for small businesses that go ahead and employ members of the Minnesota National Guard, other reserve components. Now, what the expansion of this legislation will do, to my mind, it will enable people who have undergone significant amounts of training, constant evaluation, and deployment filled with probably leadership responsibilities, and in many cases, leadership in combat, the opportunity to go ahead and be a self-starter. Now, to my mind, that creates a huge investment. That's a pretty solid investment. It creates a group of people who are going to be motivated and ready to be a self-starter and to start that business. So from the perspective of our organization, Minnesota National Guard, Department of Military Affairs, this is an investment we'd like to make. Just as an aside, you'll note we have about 14,000 members between the Army Guard and the Air Guard. Just recently, the 34th Infantry Division, the Red Bulls, returned. That's over 1,000 people. Approximately 2,500 veterans will return, over half of those first-time veterans, just from our organization alone, back to our state. So this, what this will do is create for them an opportunity in this difficult economic climate to really expand and to really just one more opportunity, one more tool in the tool bag to move forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Officer Kennedy Fisher. Who else do you have, Senator Higgins?
Mr. Chair, to my left is Jeff Nelson, who's the actual administrator of the program at DEED. He can tell us how it actually works.
Mr. Nelson.
Good afternoon. Jeff Nelson, Senior Loan Officer with the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development. This loan program, it's a revolving loan program, was funded with $400,000. Through this point in time, 5 loans have been given out, and 1 is in process. So we have about $120,000 tied up, meaning that there's $280,000 left to loan out. Maximum loan is $20,000, so at that rate, we could do 14 more loans. The program's been operating for about 6 months. We've done quite a bit of marketing for it, but I have not been overwhelmed by the demand. So I think if there was a need, and obviously evidently there is, for this loan program to be expanded to also include startup businesses, I think we have the capacity to do that.
And Senator Koch, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, you go ahead with your question, and then I'll.
Okay. Mr. Nelson, I'm just curious, since we have a 1 and a 2 in the subdivision 2 on page 2, would the loans go out in that order of priority, or would it just be a matter of when you get them and then you deal with them?
We deal with them as they come in.
Okay. So there's no priority, just as long as the money lasts, right?
Correct.
Okay. All right, Senator Coker.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure who the question is for. This was actually my bill last year, the program, and I think that it's a good idea to add this on. I'm interested in that. My concern was, you know, where is the program at, because it wasn't a large pot of money that we had, but it sounds like there's some ability to expand it, at least in some manner, so I appreciate that. I guess, you know, so my question would be for Deed. You said there's a room for another about 14 loans. Is that correct?
If everyone would apply for the maximum, yes.
If everyone applied for the maximum. And you've done how many currently?
We've done 5, and one's in process, so 6.
Okay. And what kind of promotion or what kind of outreach is Deed doing to promote the loan program?
We've done quite a bit. We have our vet reps through Deed contact all the they work with folks coming out of the military, so they let them know about the program. We've let the National Guard go, and they've spread the word through their channels. We've let our vet reps that are throughout the state know. We've contacted all the economic development folks that work with the cities and counties, so if anyone comes to them looking for money, they're aware of this pot of money. The SBA has a somewhat similar program, so we've let them know, and we've let the Veterans Administration know.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks for the bill, Senator Higgins.
Okay. Mr. Kaiser.
Yes, I'd like to add that, Representative or Senator, that these gentlemen and ladies that are starting these businesses, with all the different veterans organizations out there, we certainly have been trying to get more people to do it. But then again, there's a group of that. If these young men coming back, when they're first coming back, from 2003 forward, it's pretty difficult for them to be starting businesses, and they don't have that financial wherewithal to do it. And there's where we're asking that it kind of be opened up to some of these, like Desert Storm veterans and some of the other ones who are able to do the same thing. I don't know why that it's only 6. To me, they should be banging on their doors, but it's... I don't know what the answer would be to get more people out there to do it.
Well, Mr. Chair, and thank you. I appreciate the comments, Mr. Kaiser. I think that this will, hopefully this will do some expanding of it. Then it sounds like that's getting a good start anyway, Senator Higgins.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Higgins. And,
okay.
And thank you for carrying a bill. You know, we all want to try to do whatever we can to try to make it as easy for our veterans and their families to reintegrate into society and not make it harder. But I can just share a little personal history and from my perspective at least, shed some light in our family situation about, well, this is a good option to have available. Just sharing my son's story. He graduated from high school not quite 8 years ago, or it'll be 8 years ago this spring, and had already joined the Guards at that time out of Camp Ripley. Between being deployed for initial training and being deployed overseas multiple times, and then trying to get through college and trying to support a family, I mean, that's kind of where the priorities are for people right at this age. I mean, that young people in his situation, and most of the people in his unit are, you know, in similar circumstances. And they get married and they have children during this time, and they're trying to juggle all these things. So the idea of having the wherewithal to start a business, you know, is usually not realistic because you're just trying to get through college and you're trying to have a regular income that you can use to support a family. And one of the problems has been that you can never start because these deployments and training schedules never match up with school schedules. And so it's hard to get back into school when the timing keeps interfering. I mean, it would really be nice if our schools would allow you to pick up where you left off coming back and not have to, you know, start over again or lose those credits potentially. And sometimes you can do it online, but, you know, it isn't always so easy. So, you know, I don't know what the answers are. I just think that for people who are not full-time military, as you know, I mean, it's just really difficult. It's well-intended, but it's not easy.
Mr. Chair and Senator Olson, I think that you bring up some good points about when folks first come back, and if we can open this up on 2.11 and 2.12 to take away the restriction that it only be for folks who served after 9/11, then that would give some opportunities to people who were in the military in some years before and have been home, gotten a chance to, you know, get their feet back on the ground here. And if they want to start a business, this would be able to help them as well. So if someone would be so kind as to move to delete the phrase at any time on or after September 11, 2001, then we could open this up to more people to have as an opportunity.
Is that what you want?
I think that would do it, Mr. Chair. That would mean then any...
Mr. Chairman, I'd move that then.
Senator Parisel?
I would move it.
Okay, so Senator Parisel will move to delete on line 2.11 after service all the rest of that sentence and the next sentence on line 2.12 through the period.
No.
Is that correct?
Through 2001, comma.
Through 2001, comma, okay.
Mr. Chair, may I ask a question?
Senator Koch.
My question would be, so if we're doing that, then any veteran that served at any time is eligible for these loans. So, for example, myself as an Air Force veteran, now I am eligible for this small business loan by doing what we're doing here? I'm just a little concerned about...
Yes, I think that's what's going on, and that's why I want to know if that's what you really want to do.
Yeah. Okay, so Mr. Chair and Senator Koch, then on line 2.10, we also have the reference to recently separated veterans, so may not have it all put together correctly.
I'd like to make a comment.
Madam Chair, or Mr. Chair, I'm sorry.
Well, that's Senator Olson. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, my suggestion would be perhaps... rather than kind of making an amendment on the fly, maybe leaving it the way it is, but then having some conversation with Senator Koch and Senator Higgins, and maybe we, if there's an intention to make sure this gets used, to talk about what makes sense.
You're right. Let's not be hasty here. And
if we could, Mr. Chair, I'd appreciate it. And Senator Higgins, I would be more than willing to work with you on that and kind of go with, you know, with what we had working last year and when we passed the bill. I would appreciate that.
Let's do that.
Senator Higgins, I think we're going
to
keep it here anyway and include it as part of an omnibus policy bill. So if that's okay with you, that'll give us some time to do some things and make sure you get all the intention right and whatever the language is. So does that work?
I think, Mr. Chair, that works, and I think that if we give veterans from whatever era a chance to start a business using this pot of money, that would be a good thing.
Okay. So are there any other comments or questions? Any of the witnesses have anything else to say? Mr. Rager?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. Again, it's Jerry Kaiser with the United Veterans Religious Council. We feel that veterans, previous veterans, are always looking for veterans to come into their company. And veterans hire veterans because those are the ones that we trust, not that they're any better than any other man or woman that served in service, but at least they've gone through the little crucible of their service. Maybe it's 3 to 5 to 10 years. And we do, most of these organizations do look to hire veterans themselves, and that predicates the whole thing. And then these ladies and gentlemen can then learn the business and then go on from there.
Okay. Okay, so Senator Perso withdraws her motion. Then what we'll do is, anybody, any other comments? Okay, so then what we'll do is Senator Koch will move that Senate file 2988 be laid on the table and be included in the omnibus policy bill. On that motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion is adopted. Okay, thank you, Senator Higgins, and your witnesses. Appreciate it. Senator Sparks. Senator Sparks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, for the opportunity to present Senate File 2510. This was a bill that was brought to me by the Minnesota Department of Labor and Industry. It updates some fees and restructures some of those programs. The purpose of the bill is to provide better equity, transparency, and accountability to licenses and improve efficiency and control costs. It reduces the current categories from 16 down to 4. And it was heard in Senator Metzen's Business Industry and Jobs Committee. There was no opposition. And joining me here at the table today, Mr. Chair, is Assistant Commissioner Joachim, and he can go into a little bit more detail about the entire bill and the process.
Mr. Joachim, welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chair, committee members, currently we have 16 different categories of license categories ranging from $0 for a registration fee to $450 for a high-pressure piping license. And the reason being that before we were consolidated 5 years ago, these are four or five different state agencies who established their own fees, and with no coordination and no balance to
rhyme or reason for doing it?
Rhyme or reason, yes, Senator. Or maybe they had rhyme or reason at the time, but not now. So as we looked at this, we spent a good part of 6-7 months looking at all the 108,000 licenses that we issue and talking to the industry. And we've visited with every industry at least once, some of them twice, to address these issues. We narrowed it down to four categories: a entry-level position at $10, a journeyman level at $20, a master level at $40, excuse me, it shows in this bill $50, and a business license at $100. But what this overall does on 108,000 licenses we do, 26% would stay unchanged, 35% would see an increase, and 39% would see a decrease. This is a revenue neutral bill as far as the department goes. We bring in approximately $5 million per year in all the licenses we issue. This still brings in the same $5 million. So we haven't... I'll say for sure it's not exact, because there are some of them that we might be up a few dollars here and a few dollars there. But our goal was to try and remain as neutral as we can on the fiscal note to address this issue. And that's pretty much what this bill does. I can go into more detail if you'd like me to answer some questions.
Just out of curiosity, do you know how many of the licenses that are either being, well, let's just say the ones that are staying the same, maybe. How long have they been the same?
Mr. Chair, committee members, in our, of the 108,000, I would say there's probably 70-some percent of them have not been changed since 1991. I couldn't tell you how many of the 26% that are remaining unchanged haven't been raised since 1991, but I can tell you the maximum increase that we will have is $67, and the maximum decrease is $356. We have some, for example, our code officials, their license fee has been $6.67 a year since 1988, and we are changing that now to $40 a year. So So they will see an increase.
So most of the 35% increase is on licenses that haven't been increased for quite a while?
Yes, Mr. Chair, yes.
Okay. And how did you rationalize the decreases?
Mr. Chair, committee members, the high-pressure piping business license was $450. Okay. We said that if I'm a business owner that I have a high-pressure piping business, a plumbing business, and electrical business, why should my high-pressure piping business license be $450 and my electrical business license be $100? Okay. So we tried to take all of them and from top to bottom, zero to 450, and bring them all into this range in the middle someplace to make it reflective of our costs, what it costs us to actually renew the license and issue the license, issue an exam. We established our exam fees. Some of the licenses had the exam fee in the license fee. Some of them didn't. Some of the licenses have continuing education assigned to it. Takes us more time to review continuing education requirements, so we established a $10 fee on everybody that has a license that has continuing education with it. We have three authoritative boards. They cost us more to manage the authoritative boards, so every licensee that the authoritative board has authority over, we charge $4 in each of those license categories to manage that authoritative board.
So how long has this been in the works? Sounds like you worked pretty hard on this.
We've been working at least 9 months on it, yeah. Senator.
Oh, so we're supposed to give Commissioner Swigum credit for this? Is
it? Ed Potter in our office was the accounting person that did all the numbers, Senator.
Okay, are there any comments or questions from the committee?
Mr. Chair, if it would be okay.
Senator Sparks.
I do have a few oral amendments or an oral amendment I'd like to make to get Absolutely. The bill to match the House language.
Okay.
And on line 2.21, what we would like to do is delete 60 and insert 50. So basically changing that from $60 to $50, Mr. Chair. And then also
2.215, is that what you mean?
On line 2.21.
Okay, all right.
Examination fee currently reads 60. We'd like to change that to 50. And then if you go to page 4, line 4.2, we would delete 50 and insert 40. Moving across the document, delete 100 and insert 80. Delete 150 and insert 120. And on line 4.3, delete 100, insert 90. Delete 200, insert 180. And finally, delete 300 and insert 270. And I apologize to staff and you, Mr. Chair, for not having that.
Everybody understand that? And that keeps your revenue neutral still?
Yes. Okay. Mr. Chair, yes, it does. But we, after recalculating all the numbers, this really works, gives us the closest amount. At $100, we were making a little bit more, and at $80, we were a little bit less. So we said, okay, we got to come into balance here. So we're at 90 works us out.
No, just out of curiosity, this is on page 2. On line 15, does that 60 stay 60? On line 15, page 2.
Actually, I was told, Mr. Chair, good catch on your part. 2.15 would also need to be changed to 50.
Okay. Anybody see any more 60s in the bill? That should be changed. Okay, does everybody understand Senator Sparks' oral amendment? I guess so. Okay, so you have it all recorded, right?
Yes.
Okay, so Senator Sparks moves that oral amendment that he just suggested. All of the favors signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, motion adopted. any other comments or questions on the bill? Carl, this is not controversial, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes, sir, it is or no? Okay, then we'll do the same with this as we did with, if there's no other questions or comments, then we'll do the same as we do with Senator Higgins' bill, and Senator Sparks moves that Senate File 2510 be laid over for inclusion in the omnibus policy bill. Any comments or questions on that? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion adopted. That concludes the business on the agenda. Cap, next meeting.
Mr. Chair and members, we do have a meeting on Wednesday. We have right now two bills, a Senator Saxhog bill and a Senator Cohen bill on the agenda. And I'm going to try to add some more bills if possible.
Senator Cohen looks confused. Have a discussion with him afterwards. Okay. Any other comments from the committee?
Policy, though.
This could be a good policy.
How big is it going to be?
I don't know. It's got two bills in it now.
Yeah. This bill? It's a big bill.
Okay. Meeting adjourned.
I got some ideas.